End time prophecy. That's what I want to hear from you. I want your thoughts about it. I want to bring up Matthias Stormberger. He had remarkable visions of the future in 1830. He was a cowherder in Germany. But I want you to hear some of his prophecy, and then we'll get to your calls in a sec. He said that, and keep in mind now, 1830s. Wait till you hear these things. Iron rods will be built and iron monsters will bark through the wilderness. Well, to me that sounds like he's talking about trains, right? Cars without horses and shafts will come. A man will fly through the air like birds. And listen to this. The Catholic faith will almost completely disappear. There won't be many good Christians among the people. A mischief will arise that has to be regretted. I don't know who that will be. Two or three decades, keep in mind, 1830, two or three decades after the first war, it will come a second war, still larger. Almost all the nations of the world will be involved. Millions of men will die without being soldiers. The fire will fall from the sky and many great cities will be destroyed. It's amazing prophecy. 1830. And this is where it gets scary. After the end of the Second Great War, a third universal will come so that it will determine everything. There will be weapons totally new. In one day, more men will die than in all previous wars. The battles will be accomplished with artificial weapons. Gigantic catastrophes will happen. With the open eyes, the nations of the planet will go through these catastrophes. They won't know what's happening. And those that do know will be silenced. Everything will be different from them before, and in many places the earth will be a great cemetery. The third war will be the end of many nations. In 1830, he said, "You, my children, won't experience the largest mischief. You, my grandchildren, won't also experience it, but the third stock will easily experience it." Now you count that from 1830, we're getting close. People become ill. Nobody can help them. However, it will continue that what follows then is the end of the world. The sky and the earth will burn because it is the time when everything comes to an end. And this time will be when the wild hunt with fire and sulfur roars above the country. But when, however, someone at the Danube stream finds still another cow, then she is worth it to be attached with a silver bell. I don't know what that means. And after these events, it will be a miracle. If one still sees two or three rulers going together, after these events, clarity will be anew, and those who survive will face a good time for hope. That's interesting. Interesting take of someone who has been very accurate before. And he did this in his glimpses in 1830. So let's get to your calls in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. I'm George Norrie. End time prophecies this time. End time prophecies. I want to know what you think. You've heard what the brothers think. I tend to think that there's going to be something else going on, much like Stormberger says, something big could happen. Let's go to the phones. We'll pick it up by going to Jeff in Culver City, California to get things started. Hey, Jeffrey.
Hey, George, how you doing? And I'm sorry I missed the Mr. Diamond Brothers or whatever, but yes, George, when it comes to the Antichrist and, you know, all that, I just, out of, you know, pure curiosity, wondered just exactly what the Antichrist's powers were and how he, the Antichrist, would not only manifest in a physical or spiritual form, but how the Antichrist, Satan, Lucifer, the devil, Beelzebub, and all that, you know, whatever names they call them throughout the centuries. I'm just curious as to how the Antichrist can give power to his minions and have them do his horrendous and devastating and horrific works. You know, now in 2017, you know, our time, 2017.
Do you think the Antichrist is here, Jeff?
Yes, yes, I believe it, George. But, you know, George, since nothing, you know, has, you know, been really manifested so far, you know, Satan and his work, you know, has been catastrophically devastating in the world and still continues to this day, you know. And I'm not talking about all the evil that has occurred in the last centuries, but I'm talking about now, you know. But my question is this, George, do you think that even if there is no actual physical manifestation of a Jesus or another awaited savior or reincarnation of any other spiritual deity, whatever people believe, do you think, George, that people would just say, okay, enough is enough with this and just stop and just say, well, let me just live my life and then just die and go on, you know?
Which could happen. What do you think of did you hear me with the Stormberger prophecies? What did you think of those?
I believe the Stormberger prophecies have a lot of, what do you call it, validation.
Validation, you know? Credence.
Yeah, it's very real. I believe it, George.
Well, he talks about a third world war, and that's scary. And when you get that impression about all the things that are happening on this planet right now, man, anything could happen. Kevin in Boston, Massachusetts. Hey, Kev, welcome to the show.
Hey, George, how are you?
I'm good, Kevin. Thank you. Hope you are too.
Oh, wonderful. Now I'm talking to you again. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you. So what do you think?
Author of the Revelations. If you're going to speak Revelations, you might want to talk about the author, and I didn't hear that. They claim it's John from the island of Patmos, but he's a very mysterious individual, and I was curious as to whether or not within the realm of all of the people who talk about prophecy, which I heard on your show, what do you take from the author of this particular work?
Well, he was given the information, right?
This is what everyone claims in terms of all of the books of the Bible, that it's not just an individual, but it's been, you know, passed through as an agent and written down. But we don't know very much about him, and a lot of people confuse him with, you know, John the Apostle.
Well, I got to tell you, what if it's possible that it was something entirely different? What if it was a reincarnated Jesus or something that did that?
Well, it's interesting you mention that, because I was thinking that if we have this Antichrist problem of identity, that perhaps maybe the Antichrist is a reincarnation individual.
That could be too. That could be too. End time prophecies in the time we have remaining here on Coast to Coast. Brenda's with us in Notre Dame, Indiana. Hey, Brenda, welcome to the show.
Hi, George, thank you for taking my call. You're a blessing.
Me too. Thank you.
You, the two knuckleheads you had on last hour were blaspheming God left and right, and you were calling it, and they didn't even address what you were saying. First of all, the rock that is talked about in the Bible is the rock of Jesus Christ. It is not the Catholic Church. He built the church on himself. He is the Son of God. Second of all, there will be a temple built in Israel. They didn't even discuss that. The Antichrist will perform the abomination of desolation in the temple that is being about to be rebuilt, even as we speak. They are already getting things ready for that temple.
Mm-hmm.
Third of all, you're asking them about the Antichrist. He is a real person. I believe he's on the planet right now.
I don't think it was the Pope.
No. The Pope is the false prophet. They were right about this Pope. He's demonic. Lots of bad things going on there.
The current Pope, you think?
Current Pope, yes. He's evil. He will be the right-hand man of the Antichrist.
Oh, boy.
There is a rapture. It is in 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. He will take his real church, which is not the Catholic Church, but the real church of God, of Jesus Christ, out. They will leave. There will be a battle of Armageddon. You were right on that. this man that you were quoting from 1830.
Yeah, Stormberger.
He was more knowledgeable about what's happening than these two were. I'm sorry, but they didn't even have the courage to be on with you to take calls from people.
Well, that's not their decision.
Well, but I think you were right on the money, George. I listen to your show every night. You're a blessing. You had so many great Bible scholars on who are absolutely right on the money. And I just thank you for letting me be able to talk to you. And sometime I'd like for you to sing on the air for us.
Now you're pushing it, Brenda. All right, thanks. Hey, by the way, we may have an event near Indianapolis this year. You got to come out there.
Great. That would be great because I live in South Bend. I live about a mile from Notre Dame. So.
Okay, cool.
Thank you, George.
All right, you got that. Yeah, the prophecies. Look, and that's why we do this. I want you to call in. These are open lines, but on prophecies. I don't want to talk about much. We can do that Friday night on Full Moon Friday, by the way. But I want you to address this, what things that you've heard, things that you think. And I have been, since John Hoge, the expert on Nostradamus, told me about Stormberger, I've been obsessed with his prophecies. Because here's a guy in the 1800s who talked about man will fly through the air like birds, cars without horses. Come on. What a visionary. But then when he starts talking about World War III, that scares the bejesus out of me. Dave in Sherman Oaks, California, west of the Rockies. Hi, David.
Yes, hi, George. Thanks so much for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Originally, I thought the gentlemen were still going to be on, but I'll make a comment rather than ask the question. My comment is, I happen to have been raised a Presbyterian Protestant. Nevertheless, I have read far and wide. I'm a college graduate degrees. I've wondered why the Catholic Church in Rome is deemed the Antichrist Church. When you look at it, isn't it true that it's very possible that Iraq, Babylon, as you suggested to one of the guests, is actually the focal point of that? Why are we all looking at Europe? Why are we all looking at the Roman Catholic Church? I do agree that, yes, there was a revolution. Luther came along, fought the Catholic Church, Protestantism developed. But, question, why is that the focal point? There's a lot of cities on Seven Hills. So, the gentleman on, I'm thinking they're totally over-focused, a little bit too narrow-focused, and I'm wondering what you think about it.
And what do you think? And what do you think of Iran, by the way, in this mix?
Oh, wow. That's a toughie. I have
the wild card.
I do have a couple of thoughts. Here's one or two thoughts. Iran has been an incredible civilization over hundreds of years. The people of Iran are great people. The current, you know, political control in Iran since 1979, give or take, is wrong. And I'm not sure Trump should be opposing them to the degree he is, but Iran, Syria, Russia all play in end time prophecies. I've read extensively. I grant you that it's a difficult situation. Is Israel totally right in the Middle East? Not certain, but I know Iran is to be feared, and we need to be careful with Iran. That's for a fact.
Yeah, I agree with that wholeheartedly. Tom, you've got a text for us? What do you have back there?
We do. We have a text in from Terrence in Idaho. George, tell me what you think. There are many problems in this world. Why is it that whenever something bad happens in the news, people cry that it's end times?
Every civilization has thought that they were in end times.
Mm-hmm.
And not just ours. Every past civilization as well. All the ones in the past, they were wrong.
They were wrong.
Will we be wrong? Who knows? I don't know.
Let's hope.
All I know is when you look at people that were prophetic, like a cow herder from the 1830s who predicted these things that have happened, and then he makes predictions, don't you have to assume that they're going to be right?
Not always.
Well, if you predicted things that happened, and then they did, and then you predicted more, people would tend to believe you, wouldn't they?
Yeah, but if you're really, really consistent.
He seems to be. I mean, these things were said back in the 1830s.
Well, look at Edgar Casey.
Well, he was pretty good, too.
Said stuff, yeah.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Blair in Sedona, Arizona. Hello, good friend. How are you?
Hi, George. Well, I happened to see Pope John Paul II in 1982 at St. Peter's Square. A week before Christmas, he spoke in seven languages.
Amazing.
And that was,
yeah,
a highlight of my life. I wanted to bring up an idea that the Antichrist is not a person, it's a principle, and it's been allowed to influence many people who have lived on Earth as sort of, well, as John, the first epistle, John, he says many Antichrists have come. If people study the Bible, he says that, and he also says, if you deny that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh and is not of God, then this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which is coming and is now already on the world. Already on the world. That was 2,000 years ago, George. So, like Attila the Hun, Hitler are obvious. I sort of think that the Antichrist is a principle that overshadows certain individuals from time to time as we live on this planet Earth. What do you think about that?
I think that's pretty spot on. And the most important thing of all of this is, where do you think we're headed? When you look at prophecy from someone like this Stormberger guy, I keep bringing him up, but I mean, it's uncanny. He's talking about a third world war. Do you think that's possible?
Sure. I mean, he's similar to the Bear Clan prophecy of the Hopi that we talk about here in Arizona a lot. The eight or nine prophecies of eight of nine have already come true. They talked about when spider webs would crisscross the land. That was telegraph and telephone lines. You know, the thunder that comes out.
That's
that was
right.
The killing people, the guns, and the rivers of stones, interstate highways and stuff. So I think all kinds of spiritual people, not religious, but spiritual people all down through the ages come up with stuff like this, and Stormberger was tuned in.
And they all come up with the same conclusion. That's the other part. They all see this major calamity, this major conflict, that maybe it is in our time. I'm going to have to do some mathematical arithmetic here, where he talks about from the 1830s. This is what he said. Somebody figure this out for me. Send me an email. He said this in the 1830s. He said, my children won't experience it. He said that in the 1830s. You, my grandchildren, won't experience it. Okay, so his kids' kids. But the third stock may easily experience it. So what does that mean? Add it together. Is that going to be us? Where's that time period? If somebody lives 80 years... what does that do? So his children, let's say, are born, and let's give it 70 years. That's 1900 then, 1830 to 1900. And then their kids live an overlap of, let's say, another 50 years. That's 1950. And then the next group. He says also the next group, oh, man, we're right in it, aren't we? We're going to come back with more open lines in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. I'm going to be at Conscious Life Expo in Los Angeles this weekend, so come on by. Our television network, Gaia, will be there too, so you can meet the staff there. They're at Gaia.com, G-A-I-A.com. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you as we talk about end times prophecies, getting your thoughts on that. Where are we there? Let's go back to the phones. Ken in Tacoma, Washington, west of the Rockies. Good morning, Ken. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, good morning, George.
So what do you think?
Well, I wish that people that talk about Revelation would read the first verse. It says the revelation of God that he gave to Jesus Christ, and then he passed it on to John for his angel. But I've been trying to call you for a year.
Wow.
You wanted to know where we are in Revelation.
Yes.
We are in the towards the end of the sixth vial period.
And there's seven periods, right?
Yeah, and the sixth vial period began in 1820. And at the end of the sixth vial period, Christ comes. And the sixth vial period talks about this, the end of the Ottoman Empire. God operates on the Jubilee period of the Jews. And the British took the land of Israel from the Ottoman Empire in 1917, because Christ can't return unless the Jews are in Israel. And the next...
And that clock started in 1948, right?
Well, it started when they got the land there, then the Jews moved back. But then in 1967, was another the next Jubilee year, they took the old Jerusalem.
Right, there was that that war.
And that's the end of the time of the Gentiles. Well, this is a Jubilee year, and I have an idea of what's going to happen this year.
Just, well, tell me.
Well, on Ezekiel 38, where they talk about the invader from the north comes down on Israel to people gathered from the nations dwelling on the mountains of Israel. The Jews don't dwell on the mountains of Israel. 90% of the mountains of Israel are the West Bank, which Palestine has. So I think this year the Jews are going to annex the West Bank, and that's going to raise all kinds of problems.
All right, we'll look into that to be sure. We go next to Thomas in La Jolla, California. Hello, Thomas.
Hi, George. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing.
And I guess the guests are gone, so I will ask you, who is Archangel Michael, and what role does he play in end times? I know every year you play in wintertime the letter from Michael.
Yep, Christmas night.
Yes, and the letter from Michael is very inspiring. And if you go back, World War One, World War Two, and obviously the Korean War, etc., many soldiers had felt that they were overshadowed by Archangel Michael. In the pre-Vatican II Catholicism, it seemed like Archangel Michael played a very big role, and in terms of services, etc., that are now deleted. And so I was wondering if you would give, it seemed, you know, Archangel Michael is considered the captain of the angelic host. And so in terms of end times, well, you know, if there's ever an atomic war, I'd want Michael by my side for sure.
Yeah, Michael's supposed to be the protector. And, you know, that's evident in that reading that we do on Christmas Eve and Christmas. And, you know, in terms of his pecking power as an angel, he's seen as a healing angel, but he's really seen as the protector and the leader of the angels when it comes to battling evil. Interesting person that he might have been in his day. Huh? I wonder if he was ever a human. No, probably not. Huh?
Yes, yes.
Good question. Thanks, Thomas. Appreciate your calling. And we go to Cornelius in Alexandria, Louisiana. Hello there, Cornelius.
Yeah, Mr. Corny, as you call me there, Big George and old Tommy and all our callers and listeners, I was just telling Tommy I would hope that y'all would pray for the poor people in New Orleans. They got hit by a big tornado and stuff, and so
oh my gosh,
got killed. So thank the Lord for that.
Yep.
There's a whole lot of damage down there in New Orleans. I was amazed at some of this stuff. And like I said, you bring on these great guests. I wasn't going to, like the woman that said that they're speaking some of the truth, and we need to listen to all of it. That's why I'm so glad you get all these other people on.
We get every view we can get.
Yeah, the only thing I didn't like was this. They didn't answer anything about, which they weren't asked, but maybe next time you bring them on, you can ask them about the Mark of the Beast and stuff. And what will happen with that. But I think some of that stuff is spot on. And about Lucifer, the telescope that's in Arizona. And, George, let me say my saying, and I'm going to get off so somebody else can get on. Get your God, guns, and gold, and Bible bullets and beans, and get ready.
We're going to need it. We're going to need it. We've got Ken in the Highlands out there in Texas. Hey, Ken, good morning.
Hi, how are you, George?
Okay, thank you.
First time caller.
Good to have you with us. So what do you think about end times?
Well, it's interesting program. I didn't hear all of it. I just tuned in real late.
All right. Well, it's good to have you.
I've studied Bible prophecy for over 40 years, George.
Wow.
And
you're a bigger expert than me, Kenny.
Pardon me?
You're a bigger expert on this than me, believe me.
Well, I don't know how much of an expert I am, but I did write, when Saddam Hussein invaded Kuwait, August 2nd, 1990, I did. You know, I had a lot of people at church ask me what was going on. And I said, actually, I didn't know. There was nothing in Bible prophecy, that standard Bible prophecy, that anybody saw coming.
Right.
On that.
No, that's
but,
right.
1 week after he invaded, it all started coming to me what was happening. So 1 week after he invaded, I started writing a book about that and about the war that I thought would break out right after the new year. And I had that book published in September of 1990.
What was that called?
It was his story, What in the World is Happening. Could be read two ways. It'd be history, his story, what in the Bible, what in the Word is happening, I'm sorry, and our history, what in the world is happening. One was, anyhow, the book came out in January 16th. Of 1991. On page 16, I had no control over where this fell, but on page 16, I had said we'd be in war shortly after the first year.
So you made your own predictions.
Yeah, it got there. I was right on several things about that war, but I was also wrong. I had believed it would be over on Passover of that very year.
Still going on.
It was cut 1 month short.
Did you see the second Gulf War?
Yeah.
You did.
In an interview a couple of months after the war, George Bush had been asked, how does this fit in with your New World Order? And he said, we would like to have brought Iraq into the family of nations, but she wouldn't come in. And when he said that, a light bulb came on in my head, and I remembered the scripture in the Old Testament, and Isaiah, I believe, if memory serves me right, which said we would have healed Babylon, but she wouldn't be healed.
Wow.
So I began predicting the war would start up again, just like it left off.
Are you predicting anything for beyond now?
Well, kind of. I can't be sure about the year, but it'll happen around Passover. And I haven't even looked up to see when Passover is going to be this year.
What kind of war, Kenny?
This is going to be the worst war, George. There'll be more people killed in this war than all the previous wars together.
Oh, God.
And the destruction is going to be from Israel to Iran, and then from Egypt all the way up into Russia.
That whole region,
and the nuclear weapons are going to be used, and the current Israel will be destroyed. And that's going to shock the world, the Christian world, because it's being taught, a lot of books have been written, that Israel's there to stay.
Well, listen to Stormberger's prophecies about that. He says, give me your take on this. He says, there will be weapons totally new. In one day, more men will die than in all previous wars.
I believe it will be one day.
Oh, gosh.
And it will be one day, and Ezekiel 39, I believe it is, early on there, I forget what verse, around six or seven, the verse, says, this is the day. This is the day. And it'll be the day that the world sees a destruction in one day, less than 24 hours.
See, that's what's scary, Ken, because people who are prophetic, like you, or this Stormberger guy in 1830, are all saying the same thing. Let's go to you, Tom, with a final text or tweet.
I find that disturbing, what you just said, by the way, that more people will die in one day.
One day.
It's terrible. A text from Grace in Minneapolis. Do you think there are people that look forward to end times to be able to see their God?
Now, that's an interesting question. Some people say the end of end times will be glorious,
mm-hmm.
will be perfect. I'm not so sure, because getting there isn't very nice.
Are you afraid to die there? I know a lot of people that
No,
are.
I'm never afraid to die.
Yeah.
You know, you get the, I'm just not, you know. I don't want to.
Sure.
Heck no, I don't want to check out early. I've got miles to go. I got 100 years left on my contract here. Got to fulfill it.
But if somebody tells you it's glorious, then maybe you're not so scared.
I'm not. Look, I don't care about how many virgins are waiting for me at the end of the
I
rainbow.
I didn't say that.
You know what? That's, to me, look, living is meant to live the best way you can. I'm choking, Tom. Keep talking.
Keep talking. You're right. Living is meant to live the best way you can. And I think that if you don't, you're doing a disservice to yourself. But I also think there's a lot of people out there that lend credence to this question, that they do look forward to end times and to dying to meet their creator.
Well, I'm not. And I'm sure you're not either.
Well, I want to meet my creator, but I'm no rush.
No, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
We got all the time.
I'm in the world.
All right, we go to Perry in Santa Barbara, California. Hello, Perry. Welcome to the program.
Hey, George, it's been a while. How are you, man?
I'm fine, Perry. I hope you are, too. Everything's well.
Yeah, same here. Thank you. I'm fine. Thank you for asking.
Good.
You know, it's very interesting. Oh, by the way, can I do something really quick?
Sure.
That little gray cat, did you ever get it back when he was limping?
He was fine. He stopped limping. He stayed out in the wild. He didn't want anything to do with coming inside of a house, but he's okay.
Oh, okay, good, good, George. But, you know, your guests was it your decision to cut them off, or was it their decision that they didn't?
I kind of wanted to do open lines, I wasn't getting them to answer me.
It would have been very confrontational, you know, with them, with the audience. Well, you know, I'm Polish and I'm Catholic, okay? I went through St. John the Baptist Catholic Church in Whiting, Indiana, and I went to Bishop Knoll Institute. I don't know if you ever heard of that. It was in Hammond, Indiana.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Prestigious.
Very great.
Prestigious school, yeah. You know, I am really upset personally because I'm Polish. The way they talked about Pope John Paul II. All George, what Pope John Paul II meant is that we are brothers and sisters in Christ. We have God in us.
Well, I've got to say, I don't think the Pope was the Antichrist.
No. No. He, all he meant was we're all brothers and sisters in Christ, and we're his children, so God is within our own hearts.
You got that right.
Yeah. And just the way he attacked the Catholic religion. Listen, if it wasn't for Vatican II, George, the Catholic Church would really not have much of an influence nowadays. It was an attempt to modernize. And when I started school, Catholic grade school and all that, it was starting, Vatican II,
Well, and the point is about divorce, for example, if you're Catholic. And look, if marriages don't work, staying in it is worse.
Yeah, because you'll destroy each other,
I mean,
my grandmother was divorced from my grandfather, and she was actually accepted back, and so it's just, just the Vatican II, George, was basically, it's just more of a humane, more sensitive church, and not the horror or whatever else your people said there.
Exactly.
I mean, your guests said.
Okay, thanks, Perry. Well, good to have you on the show. Do we have time for another call? No, we are coming quickly to the end. Wow, what a fast hour this was. But somebody email me and predict out those dates from Stormberger talking about World War III and when he thinks that was going to happen based on him talking about his children, his grandchildren, and then the next generation after that. It's kind of uncanny. Isn't it? And don't forget, of course, if you haven't signed up for the Free Coast newsletter, you can do that at our website and spend some time at the website every day if you can, whether at work or wherever you might be. Just look at it and take a look at it and look at all the different things that are out there. We're going to do this again for you tomorrow, too. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Borlson, George Knapp. I'm George Norrie somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.